Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
Tonight we are blessed to be able to look into God's Word with various questions that have been submitted. And as always, we want to answer the questions not just in a very basic way, but rather to go to the Bible and to see exactly what God has to say. The next question for consideration tonight comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through verse 7. And in that context, it deals with government. And the question is asked, does this still apply today? And if so, how does it apply to our lives as Christians? The context of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through verse 7 identifies that God is responsible for the establishment of government. And that, I believe, that government is something that God wants. If not, He would not have set it in order. But also, I believe that in establishing government, God identifies, especially from this context here, is that a governing body, civil body, is something that we need here in this world. Now, I will say that I believe that there are areas of our government, in fact, I believe probably most of our government, has gone beyond the original standard by which God established them for. Also, we see in this context that it teaches that Christians must obey our rulers. In order for us to obey the rulers, and the rulers, we must know the law. So therefore, not only should we be students of God's Word, but we also ought to be students of the laws of the land, correct? When it came to studying to get my driver's license, I was latter part of 15 years of age, around 16 years of age, and I studied that handbook front to back until I was able to answer all the questions that I thought they were going to put out on the exam. And we would do ourselves well to know what the laws of the land are, to understand the Constitution and things of that nature. And then not only must we know the laws, we must comply with the rules as they are given. But then in like figure, this context shows that government has a purpose. God very explicitly says that they are God's ministers. To be a minister means that they are servants of God. And how are they a servant of God? In this context also, he says that they are an avenger of evil, of those who perform evil. So therefore, God's original intention in this context especially was to develop government, that they were to work as servants of His, and that they were there in place to protect the people. And he says also that you and I are not to live in fear of them. And the way that we will be able to not live in fear of them is if we live according to the laws of the land. If we don't violate the law, then we don't have any reason or right to fear. But if we do violate the law, then by all means we ought to fear them because they have been given rule, they've been given power to execute judgment upon us, and that judgment oftentimes has very stern consequences that come with that. How should we respond to evil leaders, evil rulers? The Bible says to us that we must obey God rather than man. That's not supposed to be Matthew 5:29. That should be Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. So if you have the handouts, mark Matthew out and put Acts in there. In that context, Peter has been preaching in the name of Jesus, and he's been told, enough, you need to stop doing this. And Peter says in a very bold manner, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I think that that still, in fact, I believe 100% that that still applies today. If civil leaders try to get us to embrace things that are ungodly, that go contrary to Scripture, we cannot embrace those things. We must stand with God. Also, we are still obligated to pay taxes as citizens of the United States of America. There are a lot of times that I do not agree with what our tax dollars are going for. I think that they waste a lot of money, and I think that they blow a lot of money on a lot of ungodly things. But at the same time, I am still responsible as a citizen here in this world to pay taxes, and if they misuse those funds, then that is on them. And then I get a chance, as well as you get a chance, at the next election to decide if we want to put them back into office or if we want to try and replace them. Also, the Bible identifies, in this context and in the broader context, according to what we find in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, that we are to honor the king. As it is stated in the context also, I believe that it is more in line with honoring the office by which this individual holds. And according to what we read in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, that context would also identify is that we are to honor those to whom honor is due. If they are not doing things that is consistent with the will of God, they are not deserving of honor. Yet at the same time, we recognize the office by which they hold, and we should not speak down on that office. Yet at the same time, if they are not holding to the will of God, then we are to oppose them in hopes that they will change their position and that they will indeed be true ministers or servants of God in the political office by which they hold. Then in like figure, when it comes to voting, I believe that we need to vote as citizens of heaven. It is indeed a privilege, a blessing to be able to live here in the United States and to have a choice. And the two major choices, if you would, from a political platform that we are presented is Democrat or Republican. And in that, while we are, if you would, required to register one way, I personally don't agree with either one of those, or I don't agree with even some of the other political parties that have started to formulate over the past several years. Yet what I try to do, and Dawn also, is we try to look to each individual candidate and to see and to say where to see what they say with reference to our biblical principles, and hence we strive to vote accordingly to those who would best fit. And I know that that can be very difficult at times, especially this year whenever it comes to the presidential race. And tonight I'm not going to stand up here and to tell you which one to vote for. Yet at the same time, I will say is that we need to examine the two candidates that are before us and to make a selection based out of the one that will best represent our conservative biblical principles. And there is a lot at stake, more than just from the presidential standpoint as to them being the president, but also their appointment of Supreme Court justices and things of that nature that I think we need to think about as we would look to cast our vote in elections.